see you all tonight. We have visitors among us here at the Clarksville Church of Christ, and we want you to feel welcome here tonight. I want you to feel like you're honored. Yes, hope you'll come out and be with us again and again. We want you to understand that all we're interested in is what the Word of God has to say. We believe that it is, as it reports to be, the truth. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And he's talking about there the words of God. Jesus said in John 17:17, "Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth." The truth that he's talking about there, the words of God, one day will judge us. Jesus said in John 12:48, "He that rejects me and receives not my words, hath that which judgeth him. For the words that I have spoken will judge you in the last day." So we appreciate the fact that we're now to a part of our worship where we're going to honor and bring glory to God by preaching and teaching his word. Then I'm going to provide you book, chapter, and verse from it for everything I've got to say here tonight. Matter of fact, we're utilizing PowerPoint to my left so that you might be able to write these notes down. You might see from where it is that I'm gathering these things this evening. If you have a bulletin, if you open up that bulletin, you'll find an outline to this lesson. I've left blanks there so that you can fill those in as we're going through there to help you maybe stay a little bit better engaged as you study this lesson with me tonight. But I want to encourage you that once again, don't just allow this to be the only time your mind meditates on the things we're talking about tonight. Take these things home, read them for yourself later, study these things and make application to your life because these are the words of God. We had read so well a few moments ago from Acts chapter 8 and really beginning about verse 4, we read there that those that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. And Philip, the evangelist, it says, went down into Samaria and preached Christ unto them. I want to talk about that idea here tonight. Preaching Christ. You know, we need to get back to that. Many folks have gotten away from preaching Jesus Christ. Others have taken another position and they said, "Yeah, well, let's preach the man, but not the plan." Well, the problem with that is, my friends, is that the man had a plan. You cannot preach the one without the other. So what I'd like to do here this evening is go through how it was in New Testament days that the apostles and the evangelists of Jesus Christ preached Jesus Christ. And if I can see a pattern there as far as how it was that they preached Jesus Christ, it is something that you and I can learn here tonight and that we can make application and make sure both individually and as a congregation we are preaching Jesus Christ as Jesus Christ was preached in New Testament days. The first thing I want to point to your attention here today, when it comes to preaching Jesus Christ from the Word of God, is that we're going to utilize the Scriptures. Man has all kinds of different sources to preach Jesus Christ today. Creed books, catechisms, church constitutions. I've sat before in buildings that say Church of Christ on the outside, and I've seen people read books that's been authored by men and pull their ideas and their concepts out to try to preach Jesus Christ. But I need to understand here this evening that when Jesus Christ was preached in New Testament days, folks preached Jesus Christ from Acts chapter 8 and verse 35, talking about the same man who went down to Samaria to preach. This time he's preaching to the Ethiopian eunuch. He said, "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus." You see, this evangelist, when it came to preaching Christ, consulted the scripture. And the question is to me here this evening is, why should I be any different? When it comes to preaching and teaching Jesus Christ, you and I need to crack open the book and read the scriptures in regards to what that good book has to say about Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, the scriptures are not held in too high esteem today. People don't appreciate it for what it is. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16 that all scripture has been given by the inspiration of God. That is literally from the mouth of God. God breathed. And when you begin to speak, stick your hand out in front of your mouth sometimes, and you'll feel the breath. And that's literally the idea. That this is literally the breath coming out of God's mouth in regards to these words. And he said it's profitable for your doctrine. That is your policy. The things that you preach and teach and you practice, the scripture is valuable for that, for reproof, for correction, for the instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, including preaching Jesus Christ. Someone says, "Well, that's all good, but I don't need the scriptures to preach Christ." Well, that's kind of funny, because the evangelist Philip thought it was necessary, and the apostle Paul did as well. Someone says, "Oh no, they were inspired men." Well, I know that they were, but when they came to preach in Jesus Christ,
They preached according to the script. Notice in Acts chapter 18 and verse 28, it says, speaking of Paul, for he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly showing, now watch it, by the scripture, that Jesus was the Christ. So when I get to thinking here this evening about preaching Christ and cataloging and thinking about how it was they did it in New Testament days, I want you to first to be impressed with the fact that they utilized the scripture. But also, when it comes to preaching Jesus Christ in New Testament days, I want you to appreciate the fact that they preached faith in his name. Many think that there's nothing in a name. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus Christ, Paul said in Colossians 3, in verse 17. When we preach Jesus Christ, we must preach faith in his name. In John 14, and verse 1, Jesus there said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And in verse 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man will come to the Father but by me. I must preach faith in the authority of Jesus Christ. That he was who he said he was. That he will do what he said he'll do. And that I must do the things that he has told me to do. Faith in his name. In Acts chapter 14 and verse 12, Peter said, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. In the name of Jesus Christ is where salvation is found. In the authority of the teaching and preaching and practices of the gospel of Jesus Christ is where the salvation of my soul and the salvation of your soul is found. And when I preach Jesus Christ, I preach faith in that name. That's the reason when those in Bible days preach Christ, they preach the faith in the name of Jesus Christ and his authority. In John chapter 1 and verse 12, I read, But as many that did receive him, he gave them power to become sons of God, even them, are you listening? Even to them that believed what? In his name. When they preached Jesus Christ, they preached faith in the name of Jesus Christ. John said in 1 John 3:23, and this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son of Jesus, Son Jesus Christ. And again, 1 John 5:13, these things I have written to you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you might know that you have eternal life. Those who have faith in the authority, the teachings of Jesus Christ, have eternal life, because not only do they believe them, but they obey them. And when early preachers preach Jesus Christ, I want you to appreciate, they preach faith in the name of Jesus Christ. No other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. So they preach from the scripture. Listen, they preach faith in his name, but also it is. They preach the crucifixion. Many don't like to talk about death. Many don't like to talk about the crucifixion. I can remember one time someone said, I just don't like bloody religion. Well, I want you to appreciate that when Jesus Christ was preached in New Testament days, they preached regarding the crucifixion. Matter of fact, Paul one time said in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 2, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ. Are you listening? And him crucified. Paul said, I preached about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 21, God has chosen through the foolishness of preaching to save those who believe. Jesus Christ must be preached. And when Jesus Christ is preached, you need to be preaching about the crucifixion. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 23, he says, to the Jews, we preach Jesus Christ and him crucified, a stumbling block, and unto Gentiles, foolishness. We preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. But he said in verse 24, but unto us who believe, it is the power and it is the wisdom of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in about verse 3, Paul there said to those Corinthians, for I delivered unto you, first of all, which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. Now listen, according to the scripture. You see, Paul preached to them from the scripture regarding Jesus Christ. And when he did that, he preached to them in regards to the crucifixion. Again, in Acts 17:3, about the Apostle Paul, it says he reasoned with them out of the Scripture, opening and alleging how that Christ must have need suffer. Why suffer? Why be crucified? Because Isaiah said, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, for he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All of us have gone away, gone astray. Every one of us have gone on our own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. That's what we remind ourselves on the first day of the week, that Jesus Christ was crucified. And he was crucified for my sin, and he was crucified for your sin. And you can see the reason why it is so important that when I preach Christ, I preach about the fact that Jesus Christ literally died for my sin, and in whom I have redemption in his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. And if I'm going to preach to somebody about their salvation, their sins are going to have to be washed away, and I must tell them the catalyst by which that can be preached, and that is Jesus Christ and him crucified. Without the shedding of blood, the Hebrew writer said, there is no remission of sin, Hebrews 9 and verse 22. And so when I preach Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, I cannot help but preach about his crucifixion, having made peace through the blood of his cross by him to reconcile all things unto himself by him. So when I preach Jesus Christ, I preach the crucifixion, but also I preach the resurrection. We don't talk enough about the resurrection. And I want you to understand here this evening that a lot of people want to mock at the thought of the resurrection. In the book of Acts chapter 4 in verse 1, it says, and they spoke unto the people, the priests and the captains in the temple of the Sadducees came upon them, that is the apostles, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus. See, they were preaching Christ. The resurrection from the dead. You see, the apostles, when they went about preaching Jesus Christ, they preached in regards to the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. In Acts 17 and verse 18, then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and the Stoics encountered him, that is Paul, and some said, what will this babbler say? Others said, he seems to be a setter forth of some strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus, are you ready? And the resurrection. Preached Jesus Christ. He preached regarding the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. I mean, have you ever thought about what it is that sets Jesus Christ, the Son of God, apart from all these other men-made religions in regards to their teachings and their doctrines? Jesus Christ died and he rose from the dead. And actually in Romans 1 and verse 4, and declared he with power to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. The resurrection from the dead proved beyond a shadow of doubt that Jesus Christ was who he said he was. He did what he said he'd do. He did these things, and he'll do for us what he said he'll do. And Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Peter in 1 Peter 1 and verse 3 said, blessed be the God and our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a lively hope. Listen. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. When the Apostle Peter talked about the hope in Jesus Christ, which we all enjoy talking about that. We'll talk to our friends about our hope in Jesus Christ. But how is it that I have hope in Jesus Christ? The only way that I have hope in Jesus Christ is the fact that he was resurrected from the dead. There's only one name that I can speak where anybody could have any hope. I don't care how famous or how powerful an individual was in the history of mankind, you cannot speak their name and provide any comfort or any type of hope to a friend or a family or a loved one or the one that has died. accept the name of Jesus Christ. And the reason I can do that is because Jesus Christ himself rose from the dead. When I preach Jesus Christ, I preach the resurrection from the dead. And finally, I want you to see this. When I preach, I should say finally, I got two more. When I preach Jesus Christ, I preach about his church. Many don't like to talk about the church. Why, when you talk about Jesus, someone says, you don't need to talk about the church. Well, listen, I beg the difference. And if you'll give me 2 or 3 minutes, I'll explain that here. You see, in verse 12, as Philip went down and preached to those Samaritans Christ, it says, but when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were all baptized, both men and women. You see, in verse 5, it says he just simply preached Christ. But then I see that what it was he was preaching they believed on, one of those was the kingdom of God. When you talk about the kingdom of God, we're talking about the church in this context. But ye, the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 12:22, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto a city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of the angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. Verse 28 of that same book and chapter. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace where we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. The church is the kingdom. And when Philip went and preached Christ to the Samaritans, he preached unto them in regards to the Lord's church. Matter of fact, Jesus said in Matthew 16 and verse 18, upon this rock, that is that I am the Christ, the Son of God. Based upon that preaching, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, and I will give you the keys to the church. No, he said, I'll give you keys to the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And I want you to appreciate that the church keys operate the kingdom keys, and the kingdom keys operate the church keys. In Colossians 1 and verse 18, I read in regards to Jesus Christ and that church that he's head over that body of the church. Someone says, well, I can talk about somebody without discussing the person. I mean, someone says, I don't have to talk about somebody's body. I might talk about their attitude or their personality or something like that. Okay, I appreciate that. But Paul said in Ephesians 1:22, in regards to the church and Jesus Christ, that he has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things of the church, which is his body. Now listen, the fullness of him that fills all in all. When you preach Jesus Christ, you cannot preach about him to the fullest extent and let you preach about the church, how he purchased that church in Acts 20 and verse 28 with his own blood. How that when one is obedient to the faith, that Jesus Christ adds them to the church, such as are being saved. You see, you don't join the church to be saved. Jesus Christ adds you to his church because you have been saved. And when Jesus Christ was preached, ladies and gentlemen, in New Testament days, I want you to appreciate, if you've not appreciated in the past, that they preached the church. Now, truly, finally, Don, one more lesson. One more point, the lesson will be yours. When they preach Jesus Christ, I want you to see that they preach baptism. Oh boy, many of my denominational friends were with me up until then. Well, why is this any different from the first? Because what I want you to understand is that when Jesus Christ was preached, baptism was taught. In Acts 8 and verse 5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Verse 12, when they believed Philip, and his preaching concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, listen, they were baptized, both men and women. When Philip preached Christ, folks were baptized. In Acts 8 and verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth, began the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. And they went on their way and came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What does hinder me from being baptized? What's baptism got to do with it? Well, you see, he was preaching Jesus Christ. You see, he opened up the scripture. He preached faith in his name. And he was baptized in regards to the obedience to that teaching. Many folks say, well, why in the world would he have preached baptism? Well, because Jesus said in Matthew 28 and verse 19, go, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. He said, go out to the world and preach this good news. He that believes it and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be condemned. And so you can understand why it would be that when the apostles went out and did what Jesus said and preached Jesus Christ, that he taught them that those who believe the gospel and were baptized would be saved. That's what Peter said in Acts 2:38. Repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. You see, when I preach Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, there's some things I'm going to preach. I'm going to preach utilizing the scripture. And I'm going to preach faith in his name. That is his authority. I'm going to preach the crucifixion and why he died. I'm going to preach the resurrection and the hope I received from it. And I'm going to preach about the church, that saved body of saved individuals, of those of us who are obedient to gospel call, that Jesus Christ has us to, that we're a part of, and that he's head of. And I will preach baptism for the remission of my sins. Because that's what Jesus taught. And I see in New Testament days, when Jesus Christ was proclaimed, this was the pattern of its teaching. And if you and I, ladies and gentlemen, have learned this lesson tonight, and we'll be obedient to it, I believe our time will have been spent very profitably. You listened well tonight. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. We're about to stand to sing a song of invitation to encourage you this evening. Maybe there's one in our audience who's not been obedient to these things. This would be a wonderful opportunity. Making your way forward, repenting of your sin, I'll help you make a good confession. As you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and we'll baptize you. Yet before we leave this building tonight, for the remission of your sins. Maybe there's something else we can help you do to get back on that straight and narrow, the straight and narrow road that leads from this world to heaven above. If we can do that, if the Lord will allow us to do whatever it is you need, we will do that with you here this evening, and we encourage you to take advantage of this moment. We extend the Lord's invitation to you. We sing this song to encourage you. So if you're subject to it,